Yeah. Welcome to the bungalow. Welcome to the bungalow, welcome to the bungalow. Yeah, this your favorite show, Cindy and Kale coming through, they about to let it go. Welcome to the bungalow, relax, have a seat. Life loving comics is the place to be. He's a comic book writer, she's a music lover. Things get a little crazy when these two get together. Life's a surprise like unpredictable weather. But when you got someone you love, it just make it all better. Daily quizzes tell me, can you keep up? News of the weird, I know you can't get enough. Cullen's Comic Corner, yeah, it's where it goes down. Welcome to the bungalow, it's our playground, yeah. Welcome to the bungalow, yeah, this your favorite show. Cindy and Kale coming through, they about to let it go. Welcome to the bungalow, relax, have a seat. Life loving comics is the place to be. So welcome to the bungalow. From a studio in the heart of Snake Mountain. Let's go.
So, I thought about really trying to do this right, to really do something special for this monumental occasion. And then I thought about how in my bathroom,
God,
one of my favorite additions, recent additions to my bathroom, is the Lazy Susan that I use to spin my medicine around, which is ironic. Because it's laziness that makes me need that medicine. The laziness I've had all throughout my life that it makes me need this medicine. So this is not going to be a very well produced episode.
Don't you think you should call it a lazy Cullen?
Ba-da-boop.
I think maybe you need a smack in the mouth.
Is this how you treat our guests?
It is how I treat our guests. But we're back. So!
Dun-da-da-da!
From deep in the venomous heart of Snake Mountain, beyond the Veil of Shadows, past the dominion of the Eight Devils of Kimon.
The what?
Kimon.
It is the bungalow. Back again.
Here we are.
They thought they could kill us.
They thought. But they didn't have the right ammunition. So, I am Cullen Bunn. With me, as always, is the delightful
Cindy Bunn.
And to welcome us back to the bungalow, we have two, not one, but two very special guests. The first, you know him, you love him, he's been here many times before. It is
Josh Roberts.
Yay!
And I can't remember if you've been on the bungalow before.
I don't think so.
But here he is, old Scratch himself.
Scott Adams.
Yay!
Hello!
Thank you all for being here.
Thanks for having us on the show.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm glad you could be here. We have not recorded in how long, Cindy?
I looked on Spotify. The last posted episode was on March 5th, 2021. We are slackers.
Well, we are. I mean... And let's put it on the table.
Put it all out there, Cullen.
The last 12 months have absolutely been what I would consider the worst. Last 16 months have been the worst 16 months of my life.
Wow.
Hands down. This has been an awful time. I think Cindy would probably agree.
At least the last year, yeah.
Yeah. So... and I know I've posted on social media, and he's like, oh, it wasn't that bad. Nothing terrible must have happened to you. To which I say, eat a bag of chips if you like.
But keep your pie hole shut.
Keep your pie hole shut and stuffed with chips. But we're back. Cindy and I have talked about coming back to this for a while now.
Yeah.
And here we are, and we couldn't be happier than to have such wonderful friends with us.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, man.
That doesn't sound sincere.
No, seriously. I'm glad to be here. I love you guys. And I like that Scott guy, too. He is the devil.
He's the devil
on your shoulder, but it's okay.
This is just... That's totally uncalled for.
So where did this old Scratch nickname come from? Because as long as I've known you,
Yeah?
I've known the old Scrap. Actually, before I knew you as old Scrap.
You know, the funny thing is that Josh was the one that started that.
Am I?
I honestly don't know.
Am I the one that started calling you old Scratch?
Well, I certainly wasn't calling myself.
Well, of course not, but I just kind
of
assumed.
Was he real itchy?
No. So, old Scratch is just a name for the devil. So, here's what I love about Scott Adams. Scott Adams is that devil on your shoulder that is always telling you to do the fun thing, the crazy thing, the maybe not quite legal thing. That's who he is, and I've always known him to be that way, and that's why I started calling him Old Scratch.
Did you just implicate him in crimes?
No. No,
not as far as anybody knows.
No.
Never convicted.
So, Scott, is this true?
The
bungalow is a place to be honest with yourself.
It's a safe
zone. Does that seem like an accurate assessment of me?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
I ain't lying. I mean, yeah, you kind of strike me as the guy who would encourage people to do things they shouldn't. Mm. You especially when it comes to, hey, you should buy this. You should buy this expensive collectible.
Isn't that cool?
And what's seriously a problem is, I think about you, like today I was just streaming on TikTok and I saw this guy has this new Optimus Prime toy.
Uh-huh.
Optimus Prime from Transformers. And it, like, you can go, Optimus Prime, transform. And it will... It transforms. It motorizes. It transforms.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it'll say, Optimus Prime, what do you think of Megatron? And it'll talk about Megatron. It waves its arms and it rages against Megatron.
I hear that cat Megatron is a bad monster.
Shut your mouth.
Hey.
And then you can say, like, Optimus Prime, roll out. And he'll go, Autobots, roll out. And it's $800.
Oh. Yeah. And you were like,
but
wait
a
minute.
But as I watched, I said, Scott would want me to buy this.
For all of those gimmicks, that's a reasonable price.
You just proved my point right there.
Yeah.
He's the devil on your shoulder saying, oh, you
can do
you're
this?
Not going to be able to buy that for $800 if you don't buy it now.
Secondary market will be very valuable.
So this brings me to we're going to get into a lot of stuff tonight. But first thing, Cindy.
Yes.
Do you ever have a nickname like Scott is nickname Old Scratch?
No, when I was in high school, I had a friend who used to, and I hate to even say it, because I'm telling you right now, the first person to call me this is going to get throat punched.
Oh, gosh.
You do know what's happening the rest of the recording.
I had when I was in high school, my best friend Suzanne always called me Cinny Bear.
Oh, that's great.
That's good. That works for you.
That's a good nickname.
Cinny Bear. No.
It's all sweetness and happiness.
It is.
With a little bit of spice. Why,
and how many people called you this besides Suzanne?
Well, quite a few.
So that was your nickname. Did they sign your yearbook, Cinny Bear?
Some did.
Yeah. Josh, nicknames?
Man.
Not?
Come on, Joshy Poo.
I've been called so many things in my life. I drank a lot in college.
You
I know,
drank a lot?
It's hard to believe. And so I was also in a fraternity, which, you know, if you're in a fraternity, you understand that all you do is make fun of everyone when you're in a fraternity. And so the nickname that stuck with me most in college was Slobberts.
Slobberts.
Yes, because I was a pretty sloppy drunk at times. When I was in high school playing football, that's another, you know, group of people that like to make fun of each other. I had a little bit of a mustache, but not enough to really call it a mustache, and so they called me Schmoo. Remember Schmoo from... Whatever. What about you, Colin?
Not in high school. I mean, so when I was in sixth grade, our middle school, where I went to middle school, was sixth through ninth.
Okay.
Which was a little weird, because sixth is typically still elementary, and ninth is high school, typically. But ours was sixth through ninth. And I went to the school, and we had all these weird rankings of class levels. It was like 6-1, 6-2, 6-3, and 6-4. And 6-1 was like, oh, you're the smartest kids in school. You're going somewhere. And 6-4 was like, you kids are going nowhere. And I was in 6-3. And I don't know how I got plugged into 6-3, but I got plugged into 6-3. I do know how. It's because I was terrible at math. So I was in 6-3, and they started realizing I was basically getting over 100% in every class except math across the board. And they said, something's wrong. He shouldn't be there. So they moved me out of 6-3 up to 6-1. But they had to put me in, like, they wanted to do, like, some additional math tutoring for me. Like, I was in a math class by myself. But because of that, they had to put me in a my PE class was with all the ninth graders. So it was just me, a sixth grader, and all the ninth graders. And now, if you can picture it, sixth graders are really little.
Oh, yeah.
And ninth graders, compared to a sixth grader, really big. And the ninth graders kind of adopted me as their little mascot. They, for whatever reason, just decided to call me Byron. So everybody in my entire middle school career, they all knew me as Byron because that's what the ninth graders called me. They just start, everybody's like, hey, Byron. And that's how people sign my yearbooks and everything. I will tell you this, having those ninth graders, because my first semester at school, the seventh and eighth graders were really picking on all of us sixth graders. And they were brutal. I mean, they were awful. But once I got into that gym class with the ninth graders, and the ninth graders decided, oh, this kid's our little
shrew. Mascot.
Your little shrew.
And, I mean, it never happened again because my boy Rufus came in, and Rufus was tall for an adult. He was in ninth grade, but he was easily, I don't know, 7 feet tall. I don't know how tall.
I mean, when you say Rufus, I think this person is stout.
He wasn't stout. He was thin, but he was tall.
Okay.
And he scared the hell out of the 7th and 8th graders. And he was like, don't ever talk to Byron or his friends again. Don't ever give him any trouble. If you do, all of us are coming after you. And they never bothered us again. Which, what a beautiful thing. Thanks, Rufus.
Thank you, Rufus.
I don't know why they called me Byron, though. I have no idea. I feel like it was an insult at the beginning, but then they started, it became a thing of love.
I would love to know where they came up with Byron.
I think so. I'm sort of like Lord Byron.
Eh.
You know what?
Sort of.
All right.
Side note, our son has him in his cell phone. Not his dad, not as Cullen, as Byron.
Oh, that's awesome. Good job, Roman.
Good job. All right. So what have we been up to, Cindy?
In the last
18 months, what have we been up to? No need to get into the most awful parts of it.
Oh, no, I'm not getting into that. But
how's life?
Life is better now.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not really sure how to answer that without...
Day to day.
Yes.
Life is day to day.
Yes. Yes.
Like so many people, we're all living day to day.
Yeah. I mean, did we record? I mean, I guess a year and a half. I don't even know how the pandemic was going back a year and a half ago. It feels like it's all been within the last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the pandemic. It's over, right?
We don't hear about it anymore.
It's over, right?
It's more of an endemic.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I see.
Now we got to worry about monkeypox.
I heard that's nothing unless you got monkeys around you.
Yeah.
Well,
gotta be careful.
There are like exotic animal places around.
There are exotic animal places. Yep.
Well, yeah, it's been weird. Things are going well as they can be.
I'm in a better place mentally than I was a year and a half ago.
Hey, that's a big deal.
Of course, I'm on a lot of drugs. But
it's called rebalancing your brain chemistry.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the ticket.
So. Yes.
I, too, am rebalancing my brain chemistry.
Me, too. It's called alcohol.
Self-medication.
Oh.
Don't sigh at us, Scott. I've seen you really very drunk in the last 18 months.
Never. I just want everybody to know out there, I don't really drink anymore.
You have a margarita.
But I don't drink any less. Don't interrupt me.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to sicken you.
I didn't mean you.
That sounded like a Dean Martin thing.
Yeah, it's, you know what? I'm glad we're doing this again. Cindy and I have talked about doing it
Many times.
In fact, I have my notebook here, and I found our notes from the last time we talked about doing this. So it says right at the top, I'm going to read these notes just so you know the kind of things we were talking about
doing. Oh, boy.
Right at the top, it says, right after the new year, we're going to do this every 2 weeks. Failure. I have a few things. We're going to talk about News of the Weird, which Cindy's returning with her News of the Weird.
Absolutely.
Which is awesome.
Absolutely.
We're going to talk about comic book news, which we're going to talk about a little bit.
Yeah.
I have a note here that we're going to talk about today in Mind Your Business. Nothing, because I'm minding my business. The next page reads, life. Just those words, life.
Life.
And I don't know what this means. It says word balloons. Don't know what that means. But I drew a word balloon, and it says, dude looks like he sleeps with his bird.
What? Oh, I know what that was.
What was this, Cindy?
We were sitting in a bar, and I made that observation about a guy that was in the bar. And I said, that dude looks like he sleeps with his bird. And you said, we need to add that to the bungalow.
Well, maybe we will. I think we should.
It's been added.
But it means we got to go places and make cruel remarks about people.
I'm all about it.
Let's do it.
All right, I will start. So that's word balloons. Today's word balloon is, dude looks like he sleeps with his bird.
Do you remember that?
I remember being at the bar talking, having this discussion. I don't remember the dude who looked like he sleeps with
I don't remember the dude either, but I remember saying it.
What kind of dude looks like he sleeps with his bird?
Bird sleeping dude?
Has he got bird crap all over his shoulders?
Probably.
I don't know. I know the bar we were at, it's kind of a more upscale place, so it had to be like a cockatoo or something.
Or parrot.
Not like a parakeet. You crush those. Believe me, from experience, I know. You crush those parakeets if you sleep with them.
Oh,
moving on.
Okay, then.
And then I have the final note all by itself on a page is curvature of hat. Which I'm assuming is me. I got angry because someone was wearing a flat bill.
Oh, I hate those.
A flat bill baseball hat.
Look, yeah. I get it. It looks good on some people. Mike Holmes, it looks good on.
Yeah.
Aaron Wright, it looks good on. I have never looked good with a flat-brimmed hat. It's got to be curved.
I won a hat in a trivia contest.
And it was flat?
It's flat. I won a baseball hat in a trivia contest a couple weeks ago. This morning, I came out wearing the hat and said, Cindy, I look like I work at the coffee shop.
Yep.
Because, it just doesn't... Did it look okay on me, Cindy?
No.
Be honest.
No.
Give us your full critique.
You look like a goober.
Goober.
Geober.
Geober.
That's a funny story, Goober.
So, yeah, I'm not a fan. And I think what probably happened here is I got on a rant about the curvature of a hat. Because to me, the hat bill needs to bend so much that it almost knocks my glasses off my face.
Right. Well, my whole thing is, the reason that you wear a hat is to protect your face from the sun. The bill is to protect your face from the sun. If it's straight across, it's not, there's no way it's as effective as if it's curved. That's just my opinion.
Oh, God.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Turn it back straight.
This is how I wear my hat.
Crooked.
Jaunty.
Jaunty.
Thank you.
Don't encourage him.
Thank you, Scott. It is jaunty. Also known as having drip.
Yuck.
The biggest mistake I ever made in my life was introducing this guy to TikTok.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That might be true.
But I had drip before TikTok.
Did you?
But you didn't know it.
I didn't know it. Now I do. Anyway. All right.
So if I give you a towel, will you dry off your drip?
You can't dry this drip. It's nonstop.
Is it molasses or something? What?
My drip is very molasses-like.
It's like sorghum.
It's like sorghum. It's like sorghum dripping off your tongue.
Oh, God. I need a shower.
Yeah. Aren't you glad we decided to do this again, Cindy?
No editing.
That's always been the case with the bungalow.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah. So, but I do think, Cindy, talk me here. I think you were hesitant about restarting the bungalow a little bit.
I felt, and I still feel, as I record this episode, you look at all the other podcasts out there, and they're all structured, and, you know, everybody sounds good, and then you've got the bungalow, which is reckless abandon.
And that's the beauty of it.
Exactly.
And there's
It's not scripted.
No, it's definitely
true.
Not.
There's a truth to what you guys do.
But,
and that's the beauty of it.
And I really struggled with, I kind of felt like people laughed at us more than they listened to us.
Oh, that's a good, I mean, they might.
And so I worried about putting it back out there for...
Here's the thing, though. People get too serious about all of that stuff. They get too serious about podcasts. They want it to be, like you said, totally structured, totally scripted. We got to stay on point. We got to stay on task. It's refreshing to listen to a podcast that is this. It's just people yeah. talking. It's more genuine. It's raw. It's, you know, that's what I like about it. That's what I like about it.
And I'll admit, I had to argue a lot with my agent to be able to come on to this show because we were worried about my reputation.
Who is the devil's agent?
Yeah,
the devil has an agent.
You know, we all have agents.
Right.
You know what those other podcasts don't have? A drip.
They have a drip.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's us.
Well, I'm glad we're doing it again.
Me too.
Me three.
You don't care.
Me 3.5.
Yeah. You'll get there. You'll get there.
All right. So now it's time to move into Cindy Likes to Introduce.
And here we are, folks. Back from the ashes. With Cullen's Comic Corner.
Which is when I talk about what I've got going on in the world of comic books.
You do comic books?
I do comic books occasionally. Now, you guys may not know this, because in the last few months, I know that I've abandoned you all to go to the big Hollywood, California.
Oh, yeah.
Hollywood!
So I was in Hollywood for a few weeks working on a television show that I'm not allowed to talk to you all about.
Yep.
One day soon. But yeah, I was working on a TV show there in Hollywood, but comic books continue to be made, and news in the world of comics, I have a few things to talk about. You guys okay with that?
Go for it.
First things first, up in just a couple of weeks, like September 7th, I think is the release date, Shock Shop number 1. Shock Shop is a big deal for me. It's an anthology comic, unlike any other. It's a flip comic in that you can read one story and you get to the next story and you flip the comic over physically and start it anew as a new comic. It has two covers, two stories. It's going to be an initial four-issue run, and if it's popular enough, people like it, we'll do more, which is my hope, my wildest hope and dream.
What's it about?
So, like I said, there's two stories. First of all, it's hosted by Desdemona, who owns a haunted comic book shop.
Oh, nice. Man.
And she introduces a story every... She introduces two stories.
So she's like the Crypt Keeper.
She's a little bit Crypt Keeper-ish. She was my tribute to the Crypt Keeper, to Kane from the House of Mystery, things
like
that.
Oh, nice. Yeah, very nice.
And yeah, it tells two different stories. So you got two introductions. And then the first story is Something in the Woods in the Dark, which is drawn by Danny Luckert. It's about an estranged couple who goes out on a camping trip trying to reconnect, and something awful follows them into the woods.
How do we know Danny Luckert?
Well, thank you for asking, Josh. What an astute question. Danny was the artist on the book I did for Image called Regression. Mm-hmm. He was also the artist on Beyond Mortal, the book I did as a Kickstarter project, which we are going to be continuing, secret. It's going to be published not through Kickstarter. It'll be published elsewhere. So that's where you know Danny. And then the other book is Familiars. The other story is Familiars, which is going to be is illustrated by Layla Lays, who is the artist on the last book you'll ever read, a book I just did with Vault. So that's coming out.
Very nice.
Yeah, and then what's really cool is, and this is particularly of interest to you and I, Josh. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
We have a creator exclusive variant cover for Shock Shop number one. We did a cover from Baltimore Rebus. Two covers from Baltimore Rebus on the same issue.
Front and back. It's gorgeous.
You can only get that book from me. You can get it from me at conventions until they're gone, and they will go. Or you can get it from me on my web store at my website, cullenbunn.com. It's the only place you can get that book. It's the only version you get, and it will disappear, especially if I'm taking them to conventions, which I will be doing. And that all ties into Josh, you and I are doing... Josh and I have embarked on a little business venture together. I guess this is our official announcement, Josh. You okay with that?
You bet.
Yeah, so we're doing... this is our first venture together. We're doing these creator-owned covers, but we're also... Josh is handling all my fulfillment of my web store. If you go to my web store, you're going to see tons of different variant covers.
Variant covers, special issues, signed things, rarities that Cullen has collected over the years. Whether they be, what am I trying to say?
Comic books.
Well, but...
Books.
From the publishers. he has so many books that he's acquired over the years. And I am lucky enough to be working with him to put them on his website. We're going to start putting stuff on his eBay store as well, which we'll send out the link for that pretty soon as well.
Yeah, but yeah, it's... Josh and I are working it because the one thing I hate doing is shipping things.
And I love it.
Josh loves it, so we're going to be doing that. But Shock Shop number one is our first creator-exclusive variant cover that we're doing. I have those upstairs now. I have my full supply of them. I can't send them out for another couple of weeks because I'd break street day.
Right.
But they're there. Cindy is bagging and boarding them.
I've been busy doing it for the last few days.
And Josh and Scott, we have a question for you.
Okay.
Shiny side touches the comic with the board, or yes. The shiny sides touch the comic.
Yes,
Cindy, shiny side. Yes, touches the comic. Is that correct?
I believe that is correct.
You bagged and board comics for this man sitting right across from me for years.
6 years almost,
and that's how we would do it. Now, I'm just saying there could be. People that do it differently.
So you also have to bear in mind that some companies have shiny sides on both their boards. Both sides of the board.
What?
Yes.
So there's no option there.
Man.
Because the one thing that you will run into sometimes is over time, the shiny side will cause the flat side to curve a little bit. Just because of whatever coating they put on it.
Interesting. Well, there you go. The books are in-house. They're ready to be shipped out. They're just waiting for you to order them. You can only get them from me, and I fully intend to sell out of them very quickly. Next up, in comic book announcements, I have a book coming out from Aftershock called A Foulness in the Walls.
Oh, man.
Which is a one-shot from Aftershock. It's like a 40-something page horror comic about this guy who... moves. He's trying to get his life together. He moves in this old house, and there's something filthy and dead in the walls, and it reeks, and it's slowly driving him into madness and beyond madness. And big reveal here: we're doing another creator exclusive variant cover just for that too.
Excellent.
That you'll only be able to get from me. And then we have. I think it comes out on the same day, November 16th, is when A Foulness in the Walls comes out. And I think This next book also comes out on November 16th, so big horror day for everybody. It's a horror day.
Not a holiday, but a horror day.
It's called Door to Door Night by Night, which is about a sales team that, my dad was a door to door salesman. He used to take sales teams everywhere. His sales teams are always broken people. They always need a lot of support. And in Door to Door Night by Night, I took that concept and I said, what if one of these sales teams, in every small town they went in knocking on doors, they discovered some ungodly horror that they had to face and try to stop. And that's what Door to Door Night by Night is
all about. The drunken housewife.
Well, that was the real world version. But yes, that's what Door to Door Night by Night. I have a ton of other comics coming up that we'll be announcing soon. Somewhere in the mix there, I'm doing a one-shot of The Chilling Adventures of Salem the Cat for Archie.
Yeah.
That comes out in October. So, lots of new books, lots of new things to talk about coming up in the near future.
The hustle is on.
I'm hustling as much as I can.
What about conventions?
Conventions. Well, let me talk about conventions. Let me scoop my soapbox out here for just a second, because I do want to say a few things about conventions.
Uh-oh. I didn't mean to open this box.
Uh-oh.
Sorry.
So, yesterday, Cindy and I were walking around downtown, and we walked by an establishment that had two posters up for two comic book conventions. I'm not going to name these conventions, but they had these great, beautiful posters with numerous pictures of all their guests. This is the so-and-so Comic-Con, and this is the so-and-so Comic-Con. All dozens of pictures of their guests. Do you know, on those pictures of their guests, what they didn't have a single picture of?
I know.
Scott, any guesses?
I do have a guess.
Cindy, any guesses? You do, because I ranted to you about it for 20 minutes. Josh, what's your guess?
I've seen those posters, so I know. Let's ask Scott.
Scott, what's your guess? What was there not? Let's say there were three rows of six. So out of the 18 pictures on the poster, on both of them, what do you think there was not a single picture of?
Well, I am assuming that it would be you.
Well, true. Neither of them have a picture of me. And that's fine. Forget me. Take me out of the equation.
Oh, okay.
But you're on the right track.
I don't know.
I can't go to every convention. So
no, I
know.
I got you.
I can't hold it against them if I'm not on
the picture. Yeah. I got you.
All right.
There were no writers. No writers.
Well, that's good. You're right. There were no comic book writers. There were also no comic book artists.
Wait a minute. These are comic book conventions.
These are comic
with
book
no comic book
and their
guests.
Whole guest list is all celebrity guests that they have put on their flyers.
And I'm fine with that. Listen.
No, you're not.
I'm fine with it to a point. Look, I get it. Look, I have nothing against the voice of SpongeBob.
I've
met that guy. He's awesome.
Isn't he dead?
No, he's still around.
Still doing shows, though.
That's a really exciting convention. Yeah. They have figured out how to reanimate the dead.
I just assume that the creator of SpongeBob was the voice of SpongeBob. So
I don't think it is. Or if it was, the guy met. That's fine, but there's a voice of SpongeBob, too.
Okay.
I can't remember his name right now. I took a picture of the posters out of rage. I rage photoed the posters. My problem is,
don't call it a comic book convention if you're not going to have comic book guests.
Thank you. There's the thing. Look, I don't care how you make your money.
No.
But at the end of the day, if you're going to call yourself Comic-Con and your only guests are people who've been in B-horror movies and Power Ranger episodes and anime, they're the voice of animated characters, Again, none of those things I disparage.
Right.
But have a couple of comic book creators on there, for God's sake. Don't call yourself a comic con if you don't have a single comic creator on your list of the people you paid to be there.
So, do you think that this is the culmination of the shift that's been happening at, like, San Diego Comic Con, the Chicago, the C2E2? There's been a drive, a push for bringing in the celebrity guests because they reach a bigger market.
Yes, celebrity guests sell tickets.
But they need to, because of that shift, these places need to, it needs to be an entertainment con, or they need to come up with a new name for these, because the Comic Con has become almost a kind of a slang term, mm-hmm. in a way, that they're now, just attaching to it, not, like you said, it literally may have nothing to do with, it's like the Comic Con where you go in and it's mostly, you know, Hot Wheels dealers and right. those type of things.
Now, I will say this, C2E2, I think, is an exception to that. C2E2 does a great job of balancing both.
Yes.
And they're lucky. They've got a huge convention hall. They've got plenty of room to expand. They do a really good job of doing celebrity, a huge celebrity section, and then a huge artist alley, lots of comic book guests.
And I was not disparaging.
No, I know you weren't.
Anyway.
Comic-Con International in San Diego, I haven't been there since 2007, and it was more of a media convention then. Mm-hmm. Than it was a comic book convention. And part of that is because, you know, they're so close to Hollywood that when, you know, Legend right. Pictures says, hey, we'll buy the equivalent of 10 booths worth of space, yeah. they're going to sell those to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that pushes out the comic book dealers and the comic book people because they can't afford the price that they're charging for that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just tough, though, especially, like, one of these conventions, both of these conventions are an easy drive for me.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It would have been an easy, I don't go to conventions anymore that don't pay for me to be there. I just can't. From a financial standpoint, I can't go to conventions that don't pay for me to be there. Neither of these conventions bothered to even mention, you know, think about asking me. Now, yeah. I wouldn't have been to either one of them, but because of the timing. But there are lots of comic creators within an easy drive of these yeah. conventions.
Oh, yeah.
Lots. And it's ridiculous that everybody on their poster is not a comic book creator. And it only infuriates me when it is called a Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm becoming an old man. Maybe I'm getting crotchety about it.
Becoming?
But it's not a... it's not a Comic-Con.
Sorry,
if you
Byron.
Don't even... Thank you. If you don't even... you don't even try to, you know, address the comic creator of it all.
Yeah. I agree. I also think these... in particular, and I may be talking out of turn here, but they kind of reminded me of when Wizard World was going around and saying they were going to do conventions in all these cities and saying they were going to have these huge media guests. And then if they didn't sell a certain number of tickets, they would just cancel the show.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be surprised if that was the case with these as well. I hope it's not, but I wouldn't be surprised, because they just popped up out of nowhere,
yeah.
and they have these huge media guests that are tied to them. Yeah, I'm a little skeptical.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going to happen, and that's fine. Whatever, I wish them well, but learn, if you're going to be a Comic-Con, invite comic creators,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, I agree.
Might be worth your while.
Yeah, don't call it a comic convention if you're not going to have comic guests.
Right, but... speaking of, I will be on September 10th. Cindy, check
yes.
my math on this.
Yes.
September 10th, I will be at Free State Con in Lawrence, Kansas, which is a one-day show, but they have a ton of comic creators that are
oh,
going to
yeah.
be there.
That's a great show.
I've never been to it. I'm super excited to go. I'm going to be bringing my sketchbook. I'm going to be buying some sketches. I'm very excited to be at this convention because it seems like a good time.
It is a throwback to the way that comic book conventions used to be. It is completely comic-centric. He tries to get some comic guests in there that are going to bring people in, but it is a comic book convention. You can dig through boxes all day. You can meet creators. You can get sketches. You don't have to worry about 150 people standing in line for some...
For me.
Celebrity. It is a comic book convention. That's why I love shows like that.
Yeah. So I'm very excited about that. Free State in Lawrence, Kansas, September 10th. You can look it up. You'll find it if you Google it, search it, whatever. Seems like a fun show. It's the first time I'm doing it, and I'm very excited to do it.
You'll love it.
And then in a couple of weeks after that, on September 24th, 25th, somewhere around there, yeah. I believe.
The last week, that weekend in September.
Yeah. Josh and I will be at the Memphis Comic Expo. Tennessee.
Memphis, Tennessee.
Also, and I was surprised. I've been to this show before. It's been a few years. They have a huge comic book guest
list. Oh, it's huge.
I mean, and really impressive list of people that are going to be there.
It has Cullen Bunn.
Yeah, I'm headlining, obviously.
It has Dan Brereton.
Yeah, Dan Brereton.
It has James O'Barr.
Yeah. It's going to be a raucous good time. At Memphis Comic Expo.
I'm excited for it.
I am too.
Plus, the Rendezvous is amazing barbecue down in Memphis.
That's what you keep telling me. We're going to try it out.
What about Corky's?
Nah, come on. The Rendezvous is barbecue.
There used to be a steak place in Memphis that I used to go to. It was at Buckley's.
Buckley's.
I don't know if they're still around.
Look them up, Josh. We'll
but
go
there was a steak place.
We'll send her pictures.
That will be divorce. That'll be divorce material.
All right, we're just going to the Rendezvous.
Let's face it. And Cindy, you and I can talk about this right now with friends. We all want to hear each other. I know that me going to the Memphis comic book show with Josh...
It's killing me.
It's killing Cindy Buck.
I'm sorry.
But I would want to spend all my time at Graceland, so...
Well, there you go. So I can't do that. I can't do Graceland with you there, baby.
I know.
I would love a peanut butter and banana sandwich. Love it.
I'm not even worried about food. And that says a lot coming from a fat girl.
So if on Saturday you get a picture at about 1 o'clock and it's Josh and I sitting at that Elvis Cafe that's right outside Graceland.
You're both dead. Okay. You're both dead.
I'm going to moon the gates of Graceland and send you a picture of my bare ass.
Oh, gosh.
All right, so that's conventions that are coming up. I got a lot more coming up, including, and I'm very excited about this because I can't stop talking about it. Next year, 2023, I'm going to do a lot of conventions, but there's one that I'm going to be doing strictly as a fan. I will not be setting up. I'll not be signing books. I'm not doing anything except going and just being a super fanboy. And Old Scratch is going with me. And that is Texas Frightmare Weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I can't stop talking about it. It's the most excited I've been for a convention in ever. Because I'm just going as a fan. We don't even know who's going to be there as guests.
Not yet.
Who are you hoping for? If you pie in the sky, who would you love to have as a guest?
That's a difficult question.
Soylent Green is people.
Well, yeah, Lance
from that movie.
Lance Henriksen.
Yeah. Oh, well, Lance Henriksen would be awesome.
Yeah, Lance Henriksen would be awesome. Reggie Bannister, of course.
He's at all those shows.
I hope Reggie's going to be there. I hope Reggie's there because I'm going to rekindle our friendship.
Yes,
honestly,
you are.
Although David Cronenberg would be pretty awesome, but I can't imagine.
That's pie in the sky.
Yeah, well, you said
I agree.
That really.
I agree.
That is.
That would be incredible.
What about the dudes from Supernatural?
I'd be happy for them to be there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think they're probably busy.
What about Rob Zombie?
Rob Zombie, awesome. Years
or Sherry Moon Zombie.
Hello.
I'm not that interested in Sherry Moon Zombie.
Yeah.
Is this where you want to be when Jesus comes?
Yes.
Lying to your wife, to her face.
I'm not that interested in Sherry Moon being there. Come on. Gross. Anyway, I will say with Reggie, I would love, and I think I've told you this,
mm-hmm.
my dream cast there. And Angus Grimm has passed us now.
Unfortunately, yes. With us.
I would love the cast of Phantasm 2.
Yes.
Not Phantasm. I love Phantasm, but I want Phantasm 2 there.
Phantasm 2, I think you and I are on the same page on this. Personally, it's my favorite of them.
Absolutely my favorite Phantasm
movie.
What's a Phantasm?
And what's really cool about Phantasm 2
I think
two
it's
is,
when you're having... Never mind.
That's not... Those aren't real.
Those aren't real.
I know.
James LaGrosse, who was in Phantasm 2,
yeah,
was also in the original pilot of the Sixth Gun.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that guy. He's awesome. And he and I connected on a very real level. You know, we talked about cowboy toys we used to play with when we were kids. I remember someone said, hey, what prepared you for playing in a show like the Sixth Gun? And he said, well, I don't know about my European compadres here, because it was all these, you know, everybody that was from Europe or whatever. It was Pedro Pascal, it was Mikel Huseman. You know, he's like, but when I was a kid, I played with a Johnny West action figure.
Johnny West,
Johnny West was my favorite toy when I was a kid. And I would love to, and he doesn't do social media really. Mm-hmm. He's like beyond all that.
Yeah, I didn't realize this, but he was in an episode of that Constantine series.
Yeah. Well, first of all, he's a great actor.
Oh, yeah.
He's great. He would be a dream.
Yes.
That cast would be awesome for me. It's Phantasm 2. That's what I'm hoping it for. Brotherhood of the Wolf, second choice.
Is that that kung fu movie?
Slap you.
That's that bastardization of a real...
I'll slap you too.
Real story.
All right, so now that we're moving over conventions, we move past it. Before we get into the news of the weird, I don't know, this episode might be 3 hours long. I can't tell you.
We're on track.
I have some questions for you all, for the three of you. I wrote them down.
I'm scared.
I really thought about them. Wrote them down 2 minutes before we started.
Bring it on, Byron.
I like that. Wrote them down 2 minutes before
First
we started.
First question. What was the... And look, you don't have to get this exactly right. Just think about what you think it might be. What was the first song you remember listening to? Cindy, I'm going to start with you. First song you remember listening to.
You're going to think this is bullshit.
Probably so.
No, actually, I take it back. It wasn't the first song. I had this. My mom got it, this, I guess, at a garage sale, this record player that had, it looked like a jukebox. And we didn't have any records that, because all her records were like Cheech and Chong. So she wasn't going to let me play Cheech and Chong records on my new record player.
What's the sister's name in Cheech and Chong?
I don't know.
Sister Mary Elephant.
Sister Mary Elephant.
Oh, that's right.
Anyway,
go ahead. Sister Mary Elephant.
But anyway, so she took me to the store, and in the first 45 she ever bought me, there were two of them. It was either Me and My Teddy Bear by Rosemary Clooney, or it was Stars on 45.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Josh, do you remember? Can you imagine what the first song you ever really listened to was?
No. I mean, as a little kid, like a baby, infant, sure, toddler, it was probably something like Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Or
oh, come on. Everybody listened to Twinkle, Twinkle,
well,
Little
yeah,
Star.
Well, yeah. But I remember we did have a record player when I was a kid, and we had the Bee Gees album that had the song Tragedy on it.
Oh, well, there you go.
And I would listen to that thing on repeat.
Nice.
And we had, this is not a song, but we had Bill Cosby's I Started Out as a Child comedy album.
All right.
And I listened to that thing.
A little dark now.
Yeah, but yeah.
It's gotten a little dark.
There's even a documentary about it called We Need to Talk About Cosby.
All right. That's good.
So that's the best I can do for
No, that's all. I mean,
Tragedy
I don't
by the Bee Gees.
Scott,
boy, that's a good
that
song.
That is a tough one because, you know, really early memories are hard to call up. But
especially
as
all
a kid,
you do.
Well, yeah, you know, later in life. You know. I know it wasn't probably the first song that I listened to, but one of the ones that sticks in my memory is I remember that C.W. McCall's album had Convoy on it.
Oh, that's a great
choice. Remember that.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember that vividly because, you know, it was that was the CB craze was going on. Yeah. And as a kid, it was like, oh, that stuff's so cool.
I had stickers on my on the door of my bedroom of all the CB talk.
Oh, yeah. Well, my dad, we used to go to CB Jamborees all the time when I was a kid. My dad loved it. And we all know what my CB handle was.
Byron?
No.
Oh.
Refresh memory.
My dad's CB handle for all his life was the Big Tallywhacker.
Oh, God. So you were the little tallywhacker?
I was the little tallywhacker. Wow. And we even went to CB Jamborees, and you always wore your name tag with
your
with
handle.
Your handle. So I walked around happily with a little tallywhacker nameplate on. Everywhere at those CB Jamborees. And they were awesome. They were like comic book conventions.
Oh, yeah.
Of just CB people. So, Scott, you reminded me what my real first song I remember listening to. Because I was thinking it was something. I was thinking it was an Alvin and the Chipmunks album we had or something.
Yeah.
But before I had that record player, I used to listen to my first favorite song was Casey and the Sunshine Band's That's the Way I Like It. And I remembered it because you were talking, and I remember my dad one time requested it over the CB radio. I don't know where we were driving to, and he requested it, and they played something else that was not the Casey and the Sunshine Band. That was my first favorite song. All right, next question. What was the first movie you saw in a theater?
Start with
Scott?
Well, wait. Do drive-in theaters count?
Any theater, right. Yes. Right. Scott, when we start with Josh, since he seems to know?
Yeah, go ahead and start Josh. With Josh.
It was Star Wars.
Star Wars? Your first movie Star Wars?
1977. I was 5 years old. We went to the Queen City Drive-In, which is now Sam's Club, here in Springfield. And it was Star Wars. And
that's an amazing first movie.
It blew my mind. That's everything in my life movie. Had to be Star Wars from that point forward.
What a great first movie.
Oh, it was amazing. I had the sheets. I had the soap. I had
all that stuff. I love Star Wars.
I had the sticker books. I had it all. If it was Star Wars, I wanted it.
Give me a fist bump, brother, because we were there.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Okay, fair enough. Scott.
Well, you know, Star Wars is one of the ones that I mean, that was a big deal. Did Close Encounters come out after Star Wars, or did it come out before Star Wars? Because I vividly remember going to see
sure
that
Close
one.
Close Encounters came out after Star Wars.
If I had to guess, I'd say it did. Shortly.
But yeah,
did Mashed Potatoes come out? Because that's really when Close Encounters became popular, was when Mashed Potatoes became a thing.
I think Mashed Potatoes have been a thing for centuries.
Oh, man.
Are you talking about the HBO thing?
I don't know.
Where he says, this means something.
Don't they
he
make,
smashes
don't,
his face in
Do you guys want to know something? I've never seen Close Encounters.
Are you kidding?
What?
Are you
I've
kidding?
Never watched.
End this podcast right now.
I cannot believe this.
I know vivid scenes of it. I know the story.
I have never seen
Close
Josh
Encounters.
And I went to see it when they had an anniversary screening of it at the Alamo.
I'm not joking. I've never seen it.
You need to watch it.
It is an essential movie.
I mean, that's truly one of...
I'm shocked. I feel like I don't even know you.
It's like...
When I was a kid, the light coming through the door, around the door, it scared me so bad.
That's a scary scene.
Yeah.
It scared me.
Yeah.
Terrified me.
But, I mean, that is like... That is classic Spielberg right there.
I know
mean,
it is.
Truly...
I've never seen it, and I have nothing but respect for it. I've read the comic... I've read the parodies in Mad Magazine and Crack Magazine, but I've never seen the movie.
I just totally cannot.
I knew that would amaze you. I knew it would astonish you all.
That would kind of be like if you said, I've never seen Jaws.
What did you say? Jaws?
Jaws.
Jaws on my balls. Balls on my balls.
All right. That is...
Stop it.
That right there is...
Cindy, what's your first movie you saw in a theater that you can remember?
I saw it at the drive-in.
Mm-hmm. I'm jealous of everybody who had these drive-ins when they were kids.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, no! That's
no!
That is a what movie?
The 1970s
yeah.
one? No!
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, no. What a terrible first movie. I mean, it's a great movie.
Did that terrify
but it would traumatize
you?
Me.
I think I fell asleep early.
Okay, that's good.
Did you fall asleep before the dog came up with the dude's head?
Probably so, because that's later
yeah,
in the film.
I would imagine I did. Yeah.
That
wow.
scene
yeah.
was awful.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the first one, I you got to remember, I grew up with, and I have mad respect for my mom and dad. They busted their ass to make ends meet. But I grew up in a house where income was tight. It was...
Yeah.
So we didn't... Going to the movies was not something we did. The next movie I remember seeing... The first one I remember seeing in a theater was E.T.
All right.
So... A little bit later.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
But I remember...
I mean, it's a terrifying movie.
Yeah.
It is, truly.
And I'm sure my parents...
Especially if you're a child...
I'm sure my parents didn't realize.
Maybe not.
I mean, I don't know how you couldn't with a name like Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
I saw it on a streaming service and I was like, she's not ready for it. I can't do it.
Yeah.
That dog face on that dog with a man's face is one of the most haunting images I've ever seen in a movie. It's awful.
Yeah.
But you remember when we lived in Valley Park, there was a... As you're going down 141 towards 44, there's a big lumber yard.
Yeah.
Remember that, where the gas station and the lumber yard is? That's where the that used to be a drive-in.
Interesting. Mine was Jaws.
Awesome.
Speaking of it, balls on your jaws. mine was Jaws. I remember it vividly. I remember sitting in the theater. I remember walking from the theater. I have this thing where I remember every movie I've seen in the theater. I remember every movie I've seen in the theater. And I remember where I've seen it, and I can just, I mean, I have vivid memories about every
That's
movie.
Very cool. Now, this one will freak you out. When did Altered States come out? Was that very early 80s?
I didn't
like
see, I know
81
I didn't see
or 82?
It.
Yeah.
Really early.
I know
early.
I saw that in the theater, but I went with my brother and my mom.
Wow.
And I would have probably been like 10 or 11. That's a weird one to see as
a
kid.
An early memory of mine is a drive-in. Again, the Queen City drive-in was a two-screen drive-in. And you could see the other screen from the first one. And my family went to see Urban Cowboy and the Electric Horseman, which was a double feature.
What a double.
But I looked over at the other screen and Porky's was playing.
And then you just kept
and
looking
just
at Porky's?
I stared at Porky's
because
there was nudity.
All right, next one. Here we go. What's the first TV show you remember watching?
Oh, God.
I'll start because I have a vivid memory of it. And, Scott, you'll appreciate it. I have two memories of watching Star Trek as a very young child. I remember watching Star Trek one night when my older brother got arrested and taken to jail for some nonsense. Guess what? Hasn't changed. but I remember sitting watching Star Trek, and the police were there, and they were talking to my dad, who was my older brother's stepdad, I guess, and my mom, and they were, I remember them talking, and I was like, I wish they would be quiet so I could watch what's going on here on Star Trek. I remember that, and I also remember another Star Trek memory, still in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Both these were. This is a weird one. I remember watching, and it was the first episode of Star Trek, because it was the one with the salt, woman that drains salt. Maybe not the first, but it's like the first broadcast episode. I remember it was that one. And I was eating a cabbage leaf, because that's what my mom would give me when I wanted a snack. So here's a cabbage leaf. And there was a string or something in that cabbage leaf, because I remember pulling a string out of my mouth, and it just kept coming and coming. But that episode of Star Trek, and I think it's the first episode, the first time I remember watching Star Trek. And I remember watching that episode, and I knew it was that lady that had the suckers or whatever on her fingers. So Star Trek... which is not my favorite show by any means, definitely those two memories are my earliest memories of watching a television show. And that, I will predate Captain Kangaroo with that.
Wow.
Because I know when I started watching Captain Kangaroo and Electric Company and Sesame Street, I remember Star Trek beforehand. Wow. Scott, go.
I mean, that's a difficult thing because I was trying to think if I mean, it's quite possible that I saw Star Trek before I saw anything else because my brother was a huge fan, and at that point it was syndicated, so it
sure.
was showing up everywhere. So I remember, but see, it's the stuff that's kind of etched in your memory outweighs. It's like I'm sure there were other things,
yeah.
but they weren't as memorable.
Who knows if Star Trek was watching what I remember? But yeah,
I remember watching The Hobbit. On
oh, the animated.
The animated.
The Rankin Bass.
Yeah, sure. I remember nice. That.
Good times.
Because, again, that was a big deal. I remember watching The Night Stalker.
Ooh.
Let me ask you guys this, then. Do you guys remember watching Watership Down when it came out?
Yes.
I don't. I don't know if I ever saw that one.
Do you know how awful that
was? Oh, yeah. I don't know why my parents let me watch that.
What a terrible thing to happen to me.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people realize.
No.
You don't. Oh, man.
No.
Don't ever watch it. It's awful.
I haven't actually seen it myself.
It is brutal.
It's vicious.
Yeah.
It's vicious.
And I think since it was animated, and at the time, there weren't as many things that had kind of.
Right. When you know, we were kids, if it was animated, it was okay for kids to watch.
And yeah, that...
Until Fritz the Cat came out.
Well, yeah, exactly.
But Watership Down was brutal.
Yeah. Cindy, what's your first TV show you remember watching?
This is going to sound cliche and lame, but it's the honest-to-God truth, Sesame Street.
Oh, yeah. Sesame Street's awesome.
I have a very, very vivid memory. I was probably about 4, because I remember the apartment we lived in. And I remember sitting in a chair in front of the TV. My mom was sleeping on the couch behind me. And I remember yelling out to her and going, "Mom, where's my baby?" Because I always had this doll with me. And I had been so engrossed in the show, I had forgotten that I was holding the doll.
Oh, wow.
And she said to me, "You're holding it, Cindy," because she was like irritated that I woke her up.
Right.
You know, from her nap. And I was like, oh. And I remember going back and watching. And I don't remember what scene it was, but I remember that Big Bird was on the screen. I remember turning back around, and I was watching Big Bird again.
Now I have sub-questions. Who was your favorite Sesame Street character? Mine is very clear in my mind. Actually, it's a tie. Mine, I love Snuffleupagus, and I love Oscar the Grouch. Both of them. Scott, go. Too late. Cindy, go.
Ernie.
Aw, cute. Josh.
Oscar the Grouch and the Count.
Oh, yeah, good. Yeah.
You know what? Let me take... It would be Ernie or Grover.
Grover.
Oh, yeah, Grover.
Look, Super Grover.
Oh, I take it back.
Number
You're
one
right,
with a
Cindy.
Bullet.
I take it back.
I love
Grover.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I had got a Grover toy when I was little. And it was the year I watched the Dino De Laurentiis King Kong movie. And I remember that Christmas. And I remember playing with Grover and pretending he was King Kong. And he was falling off a building at my grandma's house. Second sub-question. Electric Company or Sesame Street?
Ooh.
I'm an Electric Company dude. Much as I love Sesame Street.
Okay, so Sesame Street was for a younger audience. Electric Company is what you graduated into.
Yeah.
Which one had the 1, 2, 3, 4?
That was Electric Company. It seemed like they had the catchier musical deals.
No, wasn't that Sesame Street?
No, that was the Electric Company. The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Which looked like a pinball machine?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep, that was
okay,
the Electric Company.
I'll take your word for it.
Electric Company had Spider-Man. Electric Company had the Math Magician, which was played by...
I don't know.
Morgan Freeman.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
He was on Electric Company.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, Captain Kangaroo beats them all, but...
Probably, yeah. Just because of the ping pong ball thing.
Yes. Mr. Green Jeans.
Mr. Green Jeans. All right, Josh, first TV show?
All right, so here's the deal. My father kind of dominated the TV when we were younger. And so...
You've been bad TV.
The earliest...
Bad.
The
bad.
Earliest memory I have of watching TV was Hee-Haw.
Oh! No.
Yeah, you know, I remember seeing Hee-Haw sometimes myself.
But I can also remember having to watch Lawrence Welk.
Well, that's what I was getting ready to say.
Oh, man.
Sunday night
I haven't thought of that in years.
Hands down, it was Lawrence Welk, Hee-Haw. That
yes.
was it. That
yeah.
was what you watched.
I hate to say it, but I think that occurred in my household, too.
Oh, we all... That's the reason those shows were on for so long, because everybody watched them.
Yeah, no, I remember Donnie and Marie. I remember
all that too. Stuff, but yeah.
No, as we're sitting here, I was feeling nostalgic because I had a stuffed Grover doll.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and looked it up on eBay, the vintage Knickerbocker.
Let me see a picture of him.
That's awesome.
That's the one I used to throw off the thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can buy him on eBay for $199.99.
I want him.
And I kind of do, too.
You know what? It'd be a great way to recapture
There he is. There he is. Old Scratch. All right, I have one more, unless you want me to skip this one.
No, go ahead.
What was the first video you watched on MTV?
Ooh. Oh, I know this.
All right, Josh, you start
okay,
us
so out. I did. We did not have MTV in Springfield when it first came out.
Right.
But when it first came to Springfield, the first video I remember watching was the Greg Kinn Band... Our Love's in Jeopardy.
Oh, good one.
Yeah.
No, good one. Cindy?
Oh, gosh. The first video I remember watching... You know what? Do Scratch first.
All right, Scratch.
Let me think about this.
I think it may have been Hungry Like the Wolf. Oh, the Duran Duran.
That's a good one, That was early on.
And see, I like to think... Because I remember when MTV launched. So I like to think, oh, I was there. I watched that...
You know, the radio killer.
But I don't think I was. I remember watching MTV like in the early days. But the video that keeps popping up in my head when I think there are two that when I think of those early days of MTV, I think of Cuts Like a Knife from Bryan Adams.
Yeah.
Because my mom used to hate that video. She's like, all he does is say Cuts Like a Knife. I went over to him. And I'm like, yeah, that's
She's
true.
Right.
And I remember again, maybe it's through my mom's eyes, because I remember the David Bowie put on your red shoes and dance.
Oh, let's dance.
Let's dance. And my mom liked that one.
Do you know who played guitar on that?
No.
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
I did not
know. Wow.
David Bowie is the one who discovered Stevie Ray Vaughan.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
There you go.
But I remember those two videos. I don't think they were the first videos I watched necessarily, but it's definitely the videos I remember most vividly. Scratch?
You already got me.
Oh, I did? Cindy, did I get you?
No, I had you skip me. I would say, in all honesty, kind of like you, I know it wasn't the first video I remember watching, but when I think back, it's the most iconic one that I can... And this is going to surprise people because I know people are going to think it's Journey. And I remember watching Separate Ways.
Mm-hmm.
But,
oh, yeah, it's all denim.
But the iconic video that pops into my head is You Got Lucky by Tom Petty.
That's a good one. That one, also, I think of that one a lot, too. Yeah. All right, sub question. Big one. Favorite MTV VJ?
Martha Quinn.
With a bullet. Martha Quinn.
Nina Blackwood was a complete second,
but Martha Quinn, Nina Blackwood, I don't know. There's some other dudes, but...
JJ... What was it, JJ?
JJ was good.
What was his name? JJ what?
I don't remember.
There was a blonde one. There was a dark-haired one. They could have been Daryl Hall and John Oates.
It was Alan Hunter.
But they weren't. Alan Hunter.
Alan Hunter.
There was Mark Goodman.
And JJ.
JJ whatever.
Yeah.
JJ blah, blah, blah.
But Martha Quinn with a bullet.
Yeah.
Mark Goodman, Alan
Hunter.
Hunter and Nina.
Nina Blackwood.
Yeah, they're the ones that do the Sirius XM
80s. Yeah.
And then, shout out to Kurt Loder, even though he wasn't there at the beginning, but I loved Kurt Loder.
You know what I love about Kurt Loder is how often he tried to do interviews with the Sex Pistols, and John Lydon was such an a-hole to him, constantly. Like, he would walk up like he was going to give him an interview, and then he'd go, nope, just walk away. And Kurt Loder would stand there like,
All right, I hope you guys liked those questions.
I did.
Yeah.
Side note.
Yes.
In case anybody's listening and they don't know this, and there is... big on nostalgia and MTV as I am, on Friday nights on MTV Classic, they do a show called Metal Mayhem.
Oh, yeah.
Was it got Ricky Ratman?
And it's, no, they don't have any, there's no DJ, no VJs involved.
Right.
But they play all the videos that they played on, oh my gosh, I just lost my train of thought.
Headbangers Ball.
Yes, thank you.
They do 120 minutes too, but they don't have Matt Pinfield.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough for me because I love the era of Headbangers Ball and Yo MTV Raps.
Yep.
Probably my favorite era of MTV. And I loved Remote Control.
Oh, yeah.
The TV show, the game show. But I feel like Remote Control was the start of the shift of MTV.
Yes, it
from
was.
Videos to TV shows.
They had the Julie Brown show.
Yeah, and all that. And I like Julie Brown, but it was that shift, and things changed after that. Remote Control was...
Yeah.
That was great.
Amazing.
Kenny
was
wasn't like the other kids. TV mattered. Nothing else did.
Girls said yes, but
he said
no.
Now he's got his own game show.
Remote Control. Anyway. All right, so now we move from my weirdo questions, and it's time for everyone's favorite section of the show, Cindy Bunn's News of the Weird. So, Cindy, what have you got to wow us with?
Well, I got three.
All right.
All right. I'll start with the lamest, and then we'll progressively move up.
Please do.
The lamest, it's not necessarily so much a weird news article as it is kind of a crazy cool, but it's about this dog. It's about this man and his dog. I don't know where in Missouri, but it happened somewhere in Missouri. This man's dog disappeared. Just, he couldn't find it.
Boo.
Was looking for it everywhere. And this happened in June.
Okay.
Just recently, a couple weeks ago, this man's dog was found.
Okay.
Living in a cave.
Wow. Cave dog.
He'd been living in a cave for 2 months. They think that he probably fell down a sinkhole.
Oh.
Or found like a entrance that nobody else has discovered yet. But this dog lived in a cave, they're pretty sure, the entire 2 months he was missing.
What was he eating in that cave? Fish?
They think he lived off his body fat.
Oh, wow.
And he's going to get water inside a cave.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's...
bugs and stuff.
But yeah, but this dog was 13 years old. But, like, and this guy went exploring, what is it called, spelunking?
Spelunking.
Yeah, he went spelunking, and they said he was just navigating through the cave, and there was just this dog.
Hmm.
I want you to imagine that you're crawling through a dark-ass cave, and I've done this many times in my life, not in recent years, but in my early 20s, I went spelunking quite a bit.
Look at it. And I'll post this on the page. But yeah,
imagine that you're crawling through a dark ass cave, and there comes trundling up a four-legged creature.
Oh, I would be so scared.
It would freak me the hell out.
And that's
and
what
that dog hadn't seen food in a while.
And that's
what
he looks like now.
He ain't seen food. He'll eat you. That dog would eat you.
Yeah, he weighed about 50 pounds when he went missing. And when they got him back and took him to the vet, he had lost about half his body weight.
Wow. Holy cow. That's a long time
so,
and a lot of weight.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
but,
I'm glad
yeah,
that
so,
dog got back to his...
So what you're saying is if I really want to lose weight, I should go live in a cave.
You and me,
yes.
Josh. Let's go.
All right.
I don't think I'm up for the two of you living in a cave.
We're just going to lose weight.
Yeah.
It ain't happening.
Take it easy, Faramir.
Yeah.
Faramir nothing.
This is my brother. My
Fair
brother from
nothing.
Another.
You
That's
will
right.
see Darth Cullen emerge. My eyes will glow red, and I'll just destroy everything. Like,
well, you can come with us.
Like Sauron. I ain't living in no damn cave. Y'all go on. I like Sauron.
Y'all go on.
I like Sauron swatting down the masses.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't get Sauron swatted, bro.
By Gond, the mace.
Is that the name of the mace?
Yeah, Gond.
Nerd!
That's right.
All right, what's next?
You just blew out a bunch of people's car speakers, I'm sure.
Probably. Yeah, I did. All right, Cindy, go ahead.
Anyway, so that was my cool story about
a dog.
The dog.
I like it. I like that one.
All right, now we're taking a turn for the weird.
All right,
we're going
hear.
A little wonky.
Okay.
So, have you heard about the new shoe line called Plastic Soul?
I have not.
This is not a joke.
No.
And this is
nope.
tough because I have a lot of drip, so if it's...
It's called Plastic Soul, S-O-U-L, Soul. Plastic
okay.
Soul.
Plastic Soul. What about them?
Well, they're made from sex toys.
What?
Like yeah. recycled?
Recycled
sex toys.
Toys.
Wow. Yeah.
So you're walking down the street and all of a sudden...
What is that tickle on my heel?
You're bouncing down the street.
You're driving and you got to pull over. Yeah. Oh, God.
Damn you, electric sex shoes.
Where can I get a pair and how much are they? Wow.
Where do they
Yeah, they're
attach?
They're made from recycled sex toys. They're made from defective.
Defectives.
Amusements.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll call them amusements.
You got to explain that to us.
How much are they?
It doesn't say.
Josh is still in.
Josh is all yeah.
He's like
yeah,
defective
but,
doesn't affect me.
That's
Everything
right.
about me is defective.
Defective is still effective. If you use it right.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
All right, so...
But, yeah, it's a... They're made from defective or misfit toys.
We are the misfit sex toys.
I love it.
But, yeah, they're...
That's definitely weird.
They're 15% sex toys, and the rest is non-bleach Eva?
85% desperation.
It's a petroleum-based foam that's I like this. It's a petroleum-based foam that's hard to recycle.
Ha ha!
Ba-dum-boop.
Ba-dum-bum. Wow. You get it, Cullen?
I'm thinking... What's going through my mind is, what can I say on this podcast that won't get me... Just like completely, people just like, what a douche.
Oh, honey, that ship has sailed.
Silence.
I will go with silence.
But yeah, but the company's run by this guy named David Teitelbaum and Chad Braverman. And Chad Braverman's dad is the man who founded the popular Doc Johnson toy, we'll just say toy company.
Yeah.
Well, David Teitelbaum, what are you thinking about this business? I think it's very, very effective, Chad.
Braverman.
There's some mopping involved, but...
those are both made-up names, too.
Yeah.
All right.
You nasty.
That's like...
You so nasty.
What's your porn star name?
How do you determine your porn
it's
star
the,
name?
It's your first pet's name and the street you grew up on. Mine's Shep Dennis.
Shep Dennis.
Oh, that's a great
that
porn
is,
name.
A good one.
I don't think mine works as a... I don't know. Mine would be Thunder Quail Run.
Oh, yeah. You're like a Native American porn
that's
star.
That's awesome.
It's because of the long hair I have.
That's awesome. What about you? What would your porn name
it
be?
Morris Stagecoach.
That is awesome. Morris Stagecoach.
I gotta write that down. Morris Stagecoach.
Cindy?
Mine would be Queenie Benton.
Yeah. Yeah, it would. You're the queen, Queenie.
Brought to a brand cow.
All right, Cindy, what's number three?
All right.
That one maybe, I don't know. These first two are tough to beat.
Last but not least, oh, honey, this beats them all.
All right. Uh-oh. You did have a story about someone marrying a ghost pirate.
I did, but this is way better.
All right, let's hear it.
So, let's talk about Linda Anders, okay?
All right, I'm willing to talk about it.
41-year-old woman lives in or near Carterville, Illinois.
Old.
41.
Old.
Stop.
And
it.
She's had one dream in her life.
Okay.
Well, that we know of. To win the annual spaghetti cook-off.
Yes.
In Carterville, Illinois.
Okay. Solid aspiration.
Yes?
Yes.
She has tried for... She's been doing this for 12 years. The closest she's ever come is taking second place.
Susan Lucia spaghetti.
Right? So, she gets this idea. What can I do to spice up my spaghetti?
Oh,
what can I do? What can I do to rev up my chances of winning?
Oh, I love where
please
this
tell me the
well,
doc,
Texas Chainsaw Massacre too. It's the meat.
It's
the meat.
Don't skimp on the meat.
So, backpedaling a little bit, she's also a funeral.
Oh, for God!
She's also a funeral home assistant.
That is some story, Cindy, and quite well told.
Quite well.
Yeah.
Oh, all right,
let's
sorry.
Let's hear this.
She decided she was going to bring a whole new meaning to the word meatball.
Oh, for God's sakes. I'm about to throw up. Just thinking about it.
She, for 11 months before the spaghetti cook-off, every dead dude that came in her funeral home lost his balls.
Wow.
What in the name of God?
God has nothing to do with this.
So
there is no God in Carville, Illinois.
She took the testicles out of every dead guy.
Oh,
adult, but it was only adults. She didn't do it to boys. Yeah.
Oh, only adults. That makes it better.
Well, she.
Oh yeah, now I'm in.
It's just the ones that hung low.
Let me have some balls.
Do they wobble to and fro?
I'm wanting to know. Were there repercussions of this? Well, I'm hoping that.
Oh, yeah, let's hear what happened to her.
Oh, that's the best part.
Oh God.
She's
the police are like, we were going to arrest her, but this damn spaghetti's so delicious.
It's so delicious. You're the mayor.
So she's all slice 'em and dice 'em, you know. Yeah, she's all
right, we get it.
She didn't get any attention. Well, the night of the 13th spaghetti cook-off that she's entered in, all the judges are going around. They're trying the spaghetti. They love her spaghetti. Not only do they go for one helping, they go for two helpings.
Of course they do. They have
two helpings.
This is some ballsy choices you're making with us.
Well, this one particular judge is like, you know,
this tastes like a testicle.
I'm going to go back and get a third helping.
Oh, God.
So he goes back to get the third helping.
No! No! Don't tell me.
But there was a problem.
No! She took too much.
He chomped down on the meatball. It was a prosthetic.
Oh, no.
Oh.
So he bit into it, and this silicone testicle burst in his mouth.
Wow.
I like to think it was sort of like a Stand By Me scenario, that it popped out of his mouth, and it hit somebody in the face and bounced off them.
There you go.
Bounced into someone else.
Wow.
So, yeah, so needless to say, she was arrested. And
what was she charged with?
You know what? That's a good question. I don't know.
Testicular appropriation.
But here's the best part. When she was arrested, they asked her if she wanted an attorney, and the only thing she was worried about was if she won or not.
Wow, she's all right, crazy.
You know what? She's dedicated to winning.
Yeah, right.
Good. That's some drive there. Fist pound it for me, Josh. Fist pound it for me, Scratch.
That's some
fist
crazy.
Fist pound it, Cindy.
Crazy
Cindy would barely
stuff.
Fist pound.
So anyway, now she's looking at 10 to 15 years in the clink.
Gotcha.
Oh my gosh. I would love to know what the actual criminal charge was.
Well, you know, I gotta wonder if...
I'm gonna look to see if I can find it real quick.
Was that the only time she served the spaghetti, or was she serving spaghetti, like, did she make up practice bunches?
Oh, that's a good question.
I'm just wondering if at some point Armie Hammer didn't get some of the spaghetti, and maybe that's what led him down the dark.
Once you eat the long pig. Wow, Cindy, you're right. Nothing can top that.
You may have set yourself up for a hard one to cope with.
A woman who served testicle spaghetti just to win a contest.
This is just disgusting. That's awful.
This is awful.
You're a donkey. Donkey, Josh.
Oh, my
man,
Lord.
That's horrifying.
Yeah.
And
so let's go to Carterville.
I'm not eating spaghetti at any spaghetti cook-off.
No.
Since Chainsaw Massacre 2 taught me about not to eat a chili cook-off, this lady...
Yeah.
Fried green tomatoes told you not to eat ribs.
That's right. No ribs, fried green tomatoes.
Oh, yeah.
So, none for me.
Man.
All right, folks. So, this wraps up. We've gone a little long tonight, but that's all right. Does anybody want to tell people where to find them online?
I'm not online, but I'm usually at Cullen Bunn's house.
There we go.
So here's the address.
No, we've had enough issues with that. Thank you.
Cindy, anywhere you want to tell people to find you online?
You can find me on TikTok, because I'm not really active on there. You can find me on Instagram as Mrs. Cullen Bunn. Mm-hmm. You can find me on Twitter as Cindy Bunn. I think that's it.
Scott?
Yeah, I don't really have any of that fancy stuff.
Well,
you're on Facebook.
You are on Facebook. But the greatest trick the devil ever did was convincing people he didn't exist.
Exactly.
So, unfortunately, I don't have a social media presence.
Well, you're a welcome guest here anytime on The Bungalow.
Yes. I appreciate it.
It's also a great opportunity for us all to get together and have drinks.
Exactly.
And you can find me on Twitter at Cullen Bunn, TikTok Cullen Bunn. I just started a TikTok account, and it's crazy. My drip is showing.
Oh, my God. Penicillin will get rid of that.
You can also subscribe to my e-newsletter, which you can all get to probably the easiest places, like my website, CullenBunn.com. You get to my e-newsletter. You can get to
Patreon,
Discord. You can get to my web store. Lots of places to find me. I try to be as communicative as possible.
That is not a word.
Communicative is a word.
Yeah, look it up.
I'm a writer.
Uh-huh.
I'm a writer.
This guy's essentially a scientist.
And you're essentially a scientist. Scientists don't know words.
That's true.
Nonsense. Anyway, we have all enjoyed talking to you again. I've had a great time doing this. I'm sorry we have waited so long to do it again. And there'll be another episode soon. And Cindy Bunn, is there anything you'd like to say to send us out?
So long from the bungalow, where the air is salty, and so are we.
Yeah. Welcome to the bungalow. Welcome to the bungalow, welcome to the bungalow. Yeah, this your favorite show, Cindy and Cullen coming through, they about to let it go. Welcome to the bungalow, relax, have a seat. Life loving comics is the place to be. He's a comic book writer, she's a music lover. Things get a little crazy when these two get together. Life's a surprise like unpredictable weather. But when you got someone you love, it just make it all better. Daily quizzes tell me, can you keep up? News of the weird, I know you can't get enough. Cullen's Comic Corner, yeah, it's where it goes down. Welcome to the bungalow, it's our playground, yeah. Welcome to the bungalow, yeah, this your favorite show. Cindy and Cullen coming through, they about to let it go. Welcome to the bungalow, relax, have a seat. Life loving comics is the place to be. So welcome to the bungalow. From a studio in the heart of Snake Mountain. Let's go.